Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Steve.
It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, good to be here, and always good to be here on Sunday night, and I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. Oh, no, I say that at the end.
Yes.
Or I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day anyway.
Up until now.
Up until now. And I hope you're going to, you know, listen to our show. And
we hope it'll be a continuous awesome Lord's Day through the show.
Through the show.
And the rest of the evening.
Despite our jokes and lighthearted humor. But anyway.
Lame sense of humor?
Lame sense of humor. Anyway, back to serious matters. The last couple of shows, and I hope you got to hear them. If not, you can listen on the website. We've been talking about the cross, and I've been feeling very strongly the last few months that we need to do at least a few shows, at least a handful of shows, on the centrality of the cross as the instrument of salvation and what is obviously the key part of salvation.
Right.
The mechanism that which salvation happened through, because it's always important to go over that. And I'm sure if you're listening to this show, you probably already know that. And if you're listening and you've not heard about it, then it's even more important for you to listen. But we live in a time where we like to be independent and we think that everybody's good. And we think that by the fact that we live our lives and never kill anyone, we'll be okay to,
right,
to go to heaven.
Right.
And as a, you know, as a good friend of ours, Stephen and I both know a man named Ralph Martin who has this terrific saying that I like, where in Matthew 7, where Jesus talks about the broad road to destruction and there's few that are on it, and the narrow road to salvation and there's few that find it, our culture's turned that around and said the road to salvation is broad and everybody's on it.
Yeah.
The road to destruction is very narrow and there's only a few people on it, like mass murderers and Hitler and, you know,
exactly.
But everybody else is being saved.
Exactly.
And, you know, obviously when you study scripture and you see the plan of salvation unfolding through the Old Testament, when you see the writings of Paul after their crucifixion and resurrection, you see that salvation is a much more serious matter than that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, people in our culture today, even maybe somebody who's listening right now might say, well, how do you know that? How do you know that a lot of people aren't on the way to salvation? How do you know that it's not broad?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a vast number of people entering into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are you to judge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we believe that Jesus is the Word of God and he is truth, then why would he speak it? Why would he speak something that is untrue?
Mm-hmm.
And if we, you know, if you've listened to the show for the last several weeks, or even more than the last several weeks, but this, you know, the last few shows about the cross and what we've talked about, there, God had to make a way for us to be reconciled to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was through the cross, through his son.
Yes.
Because there was sin that entered the world, and God is all holy. And if you've ever stood in the presence of the great I am in your life, and you've encountered that love of God, you understand that God is all holy.
Yes.
And you understand the situation that I find myself in,
mm-hmm,
and any other person, whether you're a believer or not,
mm-hmm,
you are a creature, you're created by God, and he is all holy. We are not.
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself confronted with that.
Yes.
And like we talked about in the Old Testament, Moses lifted up the serpent. Everybody had to look at the serpent to mm-hmm be saved so that they wouldn't die from that snake bite.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he said, I will draw all men to myself when I'm lifted up, you know, when I lifted up on the earth. And we look upon him and we're confronted with the reality of our human weakness,
mm-hmm,
our fallen state of this fallen state of grace, which has entered into the world called sin. And what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we simply have to receive this gift of God's love.
Yes.
It's not a gift of condemnation. It's not a gift of judgment.
Right.
It's a gift of love.
That's right.
It fulfills the law. You can keep all the laws. Keeping the law is not a bad thing. But the law in and of itself does not earn you salvation.
Right. Exactly right.
And there's a lot of voices out there today that are, that, you know, we want to get back to the law. The law is a good thing. Churches have said, well, you can do whatever you want. God's grace is sufficient for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's grace is sufficient, but you have to receive it.
Yes.
It's not just there and you go, well, I know it's there, but I, you know, I never really accepted it.
Mm-hmm. And you have to know where you stand.
You have to know where you stand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the idea that, you know, we talk about legalism, and the opposite of legalism is what you just said. Well, it doesn't matter what I do. It's all grace. So everything's going to be covered. So, you know, at the end, you know, I got Jesus in my heart and that's all that matters. But until then, I can do whatever I feel like doing. That's an even more serious problem than legalism, because now that's a sin of presumption.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously that's not the case. And I'm sure you all understand that. And we talked about that when we studied the book of Romans, and you can find that on the website too, under Bible studies. But anyway, yeah, you're absolutely right. And the law, like we said, doesn't provide a remedy for the problem.
Right.
But the law shows you what you are and shows you how you're defective in keeping the law.
Mm-hmm.
But grace shows you that the judgment that you're now due, you can avoid because we talked about the cup. You know, we're going to talk about that in a minute again. But, you know, when Jesus said, let this cup pass from me, you know, he's talking about the cup of God's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows it's going to be poured out on him.
Right.
And he's obedient and he does it. You know, like Paul says, he's the second Adam. He's obedient, but he knows this anguish that this is going to be. And he says, you know, if we could just let this pass from me, but you know, your will be done.
Yeah. There's any other way.
Right. If there's any other way, but the cup of wrath is poured out on him rather than being poured out on you.
Right.
And this is so important. And we did a few shows last fall sometime about how the gospel has now been changed into just be nice to everyone and, you know, give money to social things. And those, that's all good stuff. That's all very nice. And you should do that.
Right. But even people that don't believe in a Messiah
do that.
Give good,
that's right.
Give money to good organizations.
I mean, I commonly say to people, you can have wealthy atheists who give away plenty of money to charitable causes.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean they're going to be saved? No, they're not going to be saved, because the scriptures point out that Jesus is the only way to salvation, that the cross is the only way to salvation. And he himself said, no one comes to the Father but by me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't enter through any other door. I mean, if you try to climb over the wall or go in someplace else, you're a thief and a marauder.
Yep.
This is the only way in.
Mm-hmm.
And this has to be emphasized because people have gotten away from it, number one. Churches have gotten away from it, number two. And you know, when you're sitting in your church on Sunday morning, wherever you go, and you're sitting in your pew or your chair or whatever you have there, then you can't assume that the person sitting next to you knows what the gospel is.
Right.
And so we have to tell people what the gospel is, because we have the good news.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said last time, you know, Paul says it's foolishness to those that are perishing.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk to people now that are, you know, teenagers, people in their 20s, and, you know, and you start talking about a crucified Jesus as the only way of salvation, they look at you like, what in the world are you talking about?
Right. Yeah.
Because they have no foundation. Their life's not been built on something. And they fit into exactly what Paul said to the Corinthians, where he says, you know, it's foolishness to those that are perishing.
Yeah. You know, I minister with children, I minister with teens, I minister with adults, and there is a great void of a spiritual foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, in each family, it's the parents' responsibility to feed their children, to bring them up, to clothe them. If you didn't provide food for your children on the table, and you didn't clothe them, and you didn't give them proper nutrition and care and bathe them, what would happen?
Yeah.
An agent, you know, some service agency would come and take them away from you.
Absolutely.
But to feed our children with spiritual nourishment for their soul, they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let them decide that.
Mm-hmm. When they're
you
18.
Will?
Yeah.
When they're old enough to decide on their own. Well, by that time, it might be too late.
Yeah.
You know, is that really love for a child?
Mm-hmm.
Hardly.
Yeah.
You know, and it is a great falling away
mm-hmm.
from the foundation of truth that mm-hmm. God has revealed to us through the scriptures,
yes.
through the apostles, and through all the mm-hmm. through all those who came to believe, as Jesus
yes.
said in John 17, I pray for all those who will believe in their word and all those who will
yes.
come to believe.
Mm-hmm.
He's praying for us.
Yes.
That's an eternal prayer.
That's right.
And there's not, you know, relativism is very strong in our culture. A relative truth. Well, you know, what's right for me is not might not be what's right for you, but it works for me.
We're all right.
We're all okay.
Yeah, we're everyone. I'm okay.
And we want to
okay.
and we want to throw out
mm-hmm.
absolute truth.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you throw out absolute truth, what do you stand on?
Mm-hmm.
You stand on nothing.
That's right. Shifting sand.
Shifting sand. And Jesus, as you said, Jesus is the rock of our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He is the solid rock. And if we stand upon his word, we, the storms of life will still come and buffet us
mm-hmm.
and push us and pull us.
Mm-hmm.
But if we stand upon his word and hold fast,
yes.
he will keep us safe.
Absolutely.
And we will weather those storms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just, is it a wonderful and beautiful thing that happens when someone says, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Lord
mm-hmm.
Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. That's wonderful because
mm-hmm.
now there's another soul in that is written in the book of life.
Absolutely.
But what's the responsibility of each and every believer after that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just to go, well, I'm saved.
Yeah.
Got my ticket.
I signed the card.
I got my ticket. I'm in.
Yeah.
What do you do for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Do you grow? Do you become that new? Do you become the new wineskin so that
mm-hmm.
the Lord can fill you with that new wine?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you fall back into your old patterns and habits of life?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what God intends. If we're to become a new creation in Christ and put on the mind of Christ,
mm-hmm.
we study his word. We stop doing the old habits that lead us into sin, and we turn from sin to the one who has given us salvation and
mm-hmm.
paid the debt for
yes.
our sin,
right.
Yeshua.
Yeah. Like we said quite a few shows ago, that Paul talks about how now we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had metanoia. Our heart's been transformed.
We're right.
walking in a different direction
right.
now. And the bondage that we had to sin is broken.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to sin. I mean, you're going to try not to. It's still going to happen. But you're not bound to it. It doesn't master your life anymore like it
right.
may have before.
Right.
And these are things that the law can't do. These
exactly.
are things that you can't do yourself, you know, just like, and many of you are familiar with AA and, you know, alcohol and abuse programs and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
People that are addicted to alcohol have a very difficult time saying, well, I'm not going to drink today. I'm not going to drink today. They realize that they can't do it.
Right.
They're powerless to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that same attraction to sin into a former lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
into whatever our rebellion is,
right.
where we want to live our own life.
Right.
We want to have fun. We want to enjoy ourselves. We don't want to be with those boring Christians over there that are singing songs and praying and reading Bibles. That's really boring.
Yeah.
I want to do the fun stuff. And that's a strong attraction.
Yes. It's an affection.
Yes. And
it's
only broken by the Spirit.
Yeah. It is only broken by the Spirit because each one of us struggles with temptation.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody says they don't have any temptations,
yeah,
they're
and we all have different weaknesses. You know,
mm-hmm.
I always use the example that when I'm driving home tonight, the chances of me robbing a store are zero.
Yeah.
Zero. I'm not going to do that. The chances of me jumping out of my car and killing somebody who's standing there, zero. I'm not going
to
do that.
That's good to hear.
But yeah. But you know, not everything is zero.
Right.
Because everybody's got weaknesses. Everybody mm-hmm. has something where their spirit kind of says, well, you know, if I do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, hey, everybody else is doing worse than that.
Satan knows our weakness.
Oh, absolutely.
He knows our Achilles heel.
Sure.
to put it.
And in the business world, in your work world, where someone says, you know what, nobody's going to care about this. Just if you do this, you make an extra $1,000. If you do this, you get this promotion. Mm-hmm. If you do, and you say, well, you know, I'm entitled to that. I've been working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very easy.
Yeah.
And it's, as we've come to a place now in our society where we decide what's right and wrong, mm-hmm. we have chaos. I mean, when you look at the, you know, we've seen it happen in our lifetime.
Yes, we have.
I mean, in my lifetime, I went to public school as a little kid, and we prayed in the morning. We had a Bible reading in the morning.
In a public school?
In a public school. Wow. And, you know, it wasn't unusual to see a Bible sit in the bookcase or in the teacher's desk. Or mm-hmm. That was removed. You know, we started to turn away. The family started to disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in a situation where we don't even know what marriage is. Now we're in a situation where if a baby's born and you kill it, that is murder, maybe. But if you kill the child the day before it's born, that's okay. That's not murder. I mean, this is the, you know, we went
insanity.
Back to insanity. I mean, we went back to when we did that show about Romans chapter 1. When you worship the creature rather than the creator, you know, your mind becomes darkened.
Mm-hmm.
You say you're wise, but you become a fool.
Yeah.
So we have all these wise thinkers that say, well, you know, this is this and this is good and this is that. And they're actually saying foolish things
mm-hmm.
that contradict the laws. In fact, the other day when the Supreme Court ruled about Proposition 8 and Defense of Marriage Act and mm-hmm. so forth, a man who I know very well, who leads the ministry that my wife and I work with in Washington, was actually on CNN and said, well, the government can't decide what marriage is. That was done by the creator.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow, I can't believe they let that on CNN. and there were probably people on the TV audience going, what's that bozo talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you're talking about that ruling, and they didn't rule on what marriage is.
Mm-hmm.
Because essentially they said government can't
mm-hmm.
establish that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a situation where we as believers have to turn, humble ourselves, and really come to our knees.
Yeah.
And ask God for his mercy, mm-hmm. his forgiveness, to heal our land.
Yeah, amen.
And he will heal our land.
Yes.
He will turn the hearts of people back to him.
Yes. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And this is a time, really, where the debate and the discussion and the bickering among denominations really should stop.
Mm-hmm.
And Christians should get together and say, we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our government. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for the whole society.
If we as Christians value the freedom to worship,
yeah,
we need to do that.
Yeah,
because it can and it will be taken away.
Yeah. It's happening already.
Yeah, and if we think, you know, if we think that we are that it will never happen, we are fooling ourselves.
Yeah. Ooh, it's a break already. We haven't even started the show yet. But we're already at the first break. Anyway. This is an awesome song.
Yes.
Anyway, remember, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. blood, the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Well, after that brief introduction, we do actually have some scriptures that we're going to go through. But
now, were you serious or were you joking there?
No, I was serious.
About the brief introduction?
Yes, I was serious.
Okay, all right.
We could, we could have made it longer. But anyway. But I think, you know, these are important things that need to be said, because I think it's time to refocus. You know, I think Christianity as a whole, the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, needs to, number one, be refocused. Mm-hmm. And number two, needs basically a new Pentecost.
Yes.
And those of you in charismatic Pentecostal traditions, you know, people talk about we need a new Pentecost. And you know, we may not see the tongues of fire and the brushing wind and stuff, but we need to get back to that empowerment of the Spirit. But first, we have to understand the cross. You can't expect people to understand Holy Spirit ministry if they don't know how they're saved. If you don't know the cross, you can't understand the rest of it.
Well, it'll lead to a lot of
different
things. Yeah,
exactly. And well, anyway, let's do this. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to have Stephen read 19 through 21. And then we'll talk a little bit about that. Go ahead.
Okay. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, whether those on earth or those in heaven. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind because of evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through his death to present you holy, without blemish, and irreproachable before him,
ooh,
provided that you persevere in the faith, firmly grounded, stable, and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, am a minister.
Wow. How cool is that? Ooh. Now, this is Paul, you know, no one more zealous for the law, Pharisee of Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews. He says, now I'm the minister of this.
He once again sums it up perfectly.
Perfectly. It's the center of it. It's the center of the good news. Like, in Jesus of Nazareth, the fullness of the Godhead dwells. Now, we talked a little bit about the glory of God and when we did this sort of Christmas epiphany shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, here's this baby laying in the manger, who's the full glory of God, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in this baby.
Right.
Now, you know, that baby grows up into a man. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pleased the Father to do. So, incarnation, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, and he reconciles all things to himself, he does it. We don't reconcile ourselves to him. He reconciles all things into himself, and he makes peace through the blood of his cross. Now, the cross is a horrible, bloody thing. We talked about that last time, instrument of execution. But because of that horrible torture, the blood of the cross, peace is made. And he goes on to say that, you know, you guys that are believers now, you used to be alienated, you used to be enemies, you used to do wicked stuff, you know, like we were talking a minute ago. Mm-hmm. You know, you wanted to do your own thing, you were in rebellion, you were transgressing the law left and right. Now, you're reconciled mm-hmm. because of the blood of the cross, not because you decided to be a good person, not because you woke up one morning and said, I think I'll start studying the Bible. I mean, those things are good. Those things may help. But it happened through the blood of the cross.
Yeah.
And the body of his flesh is what did it through death. This was right. a suffering. This was blood. This was blood atonement, like we talked about, that prefigured in the Torah. This blood atonement on the cross is what does this.
Yeah.
And as a result, it says, Paul writes, he presents you holy and blameless. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not holy and I'm not blameless.
Not blemish.
And I don't know too many people that are holy and blameless and without blemish. But it says through the blood of the cross, through his flesh, this is how this is done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the Son of God we're talking about. This is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus of Nazareth in his humanity. This is who we're talking about. It isn't through anybody else.
Right.
He was not one of eight different ways.
Right.
He was not a prophet of 58 other prophets where as long as you believe one of them, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says the Father's pleased to do this.
Right.
You know, the Father's pleased to call him Lord. It sets the plan of salvation as this being the only approach.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what the nature of this redemption is.
Yeah.
It's blood. It's through the flesh. It's through death. It's a covering by his blood, mm-hmm. just like the Passover was.
Right.
The Passover lamb, you put the blood on the door, the curse went by you.
Mm-hmm.
Here you got the blood of the true lamb covering you.
Yeah.
It's the atonement.
Right.
And because of this, the cup is taken away.
Right. You know, a couple of shows ago, you talked about how when Adam and Eve sinned, something had to die so that they could be covered.
Yes.
They took on sin.
Mm-hmm.
They became sinful flesh.
Right.
And God had to cover them
mm-hmm.
with the skin of an animal. So mm-hmm. some animal had to die.
Right.
Because they sinned.
Right.
Jesus dies because we sin.
Yes.
But what he clothes us with is his light and mm-hmm. salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And we become a new creation. He makes us new by his blood.
Yes.
And that's, you know, what Paul is saying here is, you who were once alienated,
mm-hmm.
Steve, he's made you a new creation, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
He's put a robe of salvation upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're without blemish before the Father because of his blood.
Mm-hmm.
Provided that you persevere in the faith, firmly grounded, stable, and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Where does it say that you can go and do whatever you want?
Right. Exactly.
It doesn't.
You have to persevere to the end.
If I put on the same sinful nature that drew me into sin in the first place, then sin masters me.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And I'm condemned. But if I put on Christ and I turn away from sin,
mm-hmm.
then I can become that new creation that God's created me to be.
That's right.
You know, and one of the things that I believe that is so important, and one of the things that I try and do in ministry is help people to understand and see the gifts that God's given them, that they can become that creation that God's created them to be.
Mm.
Because I wandered around in darkness for a lot of years when I was a young person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I whatever way the sand shifted or the wind shifted, that's the way
sure.
I went. But by the grace of God, when I was in my 30s, he got a hold of me and saved me.
Amen.
You know, and so the parables of Jesus talking about, you know, putting new wine into an old wineskin
yeah.
is going to burst, all those things, you know, putting on the mind of Christ, now it all makes sense.
Sure.
I can't continue to do what I did when I was a child. I can't continue to do what I did when I was, before I became a believer, before he ransomed me, or rescued me, I should say. He ransomed me on the cross.
Right.
He rescued me when I was in the Gulf of Cancun. But now I have to cooperate with God's grace to become that person he's created me to be, that he can, transform me from glory unto glory into his likeness.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. That's excellent. And it's done through his blood, through his flesh. It's a horrible thing to see, but it's the only way of salvation.
And Paul says, I no longer live for myself, but for Christ.
That's right.
I live my life for Christ.
And he tells the Corinthians, I only preach Christ and Christ crucified. That's all I want to know.
And so that the power of the cross is not diminished.
Right. And it sounds like foolishness, as he said. You know, you guys are going to think it's foolish.
Yeah.
And getting back, I think it's good to emphasize, and I think we mentioned this last time or the time before, Isaiah 51:22, God says through Isaiah, see, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it. Mm. So in other words, the wrath, you don't have to drink the wrath. I'm taking it out of your hands. Now, can you imagine? This is another kernel of the good news. It's like the cup of wrath, you're not going to drink it. He's going to drink it. Yeah. He says, let this cup pass. The cup's going to be poured on him. He's going to drink the cup. You're not going to drink the cup. This is totally different than the law of Moses. The law of Moses can't do that.
Yeah.
This is really the good news. Jesus is the mediator, like you were just saying.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, he's peace and pardon for sinners. And all things are going to be gathered unto him. He's going to reconcile everything in himself. And you need to make that decision because, as he points out in this passage, you know, we were once enemies. He says, you guys were once enemies. You guys were, you know, sinners. You were just doing your own thing.
Yeah.
You didn't care about this. You were in rebellion. And now you can come. Now you're coming. I mean, because of him, because of his blood. He purchases that, as you said.
Yeah.
He pays a ransom.
Pays a debt.
Yes. And it's the, you know, the Greek words that are used there are the same as when you bought a slave. You know, you paid a price to buy a slave. And then after that, he either could be your slave or you could set him free, but you bought the person with a price.
Yeah.
And this is what the same language that's used is on the cross. He ransomed us. He bought us, redeemed us.
Yeah.
And even us Gentiles, imagine that. Even as Gentiles, we were people
unclean.
Yeah, unclean, out of covenant. You know, Paul always talks about the circumcision, the uncircumcision.
There's
two different people.
Yeah.
And we were out of covenant. We were doing our own thing. Now, because of this, we're here too. Because of the blood, because of the flesh, we're here too.
Yeah.
Because the blood's made atonement. And he said, you know, you may be, if you never heard any of this, you may be thinking, what's all this blood stuff? This is disgusting. But you know, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there can't be forgiveness of sin.
Right.
Because sin causes a forfeit of life. You forfeit your life when you sin.
Right.
And life is in the blood.
Right.
And so blood is the common thing here. It's through the whole, it's a scarlet thread that runs through the whole scripture.
You know, if you look at the makeup of blood, what's in human blood. How does the body receive oxygen? How does the body receive nutrients to all the extremities, for all the organs? It's all in the blood.
That's right.
There's no other way that the body receives nutrients for the cells to regenerate and grow and oxygen for us to live.
And if the oxygen is not there within about 2-3 minutes, you're going to be brain dead.
So it's in the blood.
Yes. And the blood of Jesus has infinite value. Because now, because this is the only way, now God and man can be reconciled. Now we can approach. Now he can deal with us. We can interact with him because the gulf between us is gone. And this is the whole covenant of grace. And it's the only way.
The only way.
And Paul says in that one verse that you read, this is what I'm a minister to now.
Right.
I'm pretty excited. This is pretty exciting stuff. I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to be at the temple doing all your stuff. I want to do this. because I want Gentiles to be saved. I want Jews to be saved, because now we're in a covenant of grace. And through this blood, through this cross, through this flesh, now I can approach. God can deal with me. Mm-hmm. I can have intimate contact with him, intimate communion with him, because now the barrier is gone.
Yeah.
And it's not because I suddenly became a terrifically wonderful, holy person, and now God says, man, I can't believe how holy he is now. That's not how it happened. And it's and Paul says, I'm a minister to this now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an amazing thing for him to say.
Well, you bring up a good point, because spiritual pride is something that'll kill the power of the Holy Spirit.
Or yeah.
I should say squelch the power of the Holy Spirit in an instant. Where we think that, God's down, God's recognizing that, wow, I just can't believe how holy Phil has become. Yeah. My goodness.
I have to save him now.
I have to save him now. Look at all he's doing.
Yeah. He just got 18 more points just today.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah.
We respond to God's grace and we serve him because, we have to come back to understanding the cross, but what is in the cross? Mm-hmm. The central element, the central part of the cross is love. Mm-hmm. The fulfillment
exactly.
of there's no transgression against the law in mm-hmm. love.
Right.
And it's the central element of the cross mm-hmm. is Christ's love for us. Mm-hmm. He laid down his life while we were still sinners because he loved us. Mm-hmm. And this is how we know that he loved us by doing this, exactly. by laying down his life for us. I think that's in First Peter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, if we don't understand love, which in our culture has become so diluted and mixed up, everybody thinks of, not just romantic love, but sexual,
sure.
perverted love.
Sure.
And it's not a love where I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep that he's given me to minister to or mm-hmm. to shepherd. Mm-hmm. We talked about John 10:10. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A hired hand runs.
Right. Because they're not his sheep.
Because they're not his sheep. I mean, you and I, and I think you and I both understand this, that the people that God places before us, that's the flock he's given us to shepherd. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are priests and bishops and people that have larger flocks, but each one of us has mm-hmm. a responsibility to minister to the people that God places on our path in everyday life. Mm-hmm. And if we turn away from that responsibility, he gives us a few to see how we do with them. Mm. how are you going to handle this one person that I'm giving you to minister?
Yeah.
Are you going to do what's best for them? Are you going to love them like I love them? Are you going to lay down your life for them like I laid down my life for you? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with that one person that I've given you? Mm-hmm. If you do right by that, you're going to get more people to minister to.
Yeah.
It's all, I don't want to say it's a testing and proving ground, but God builds upon that. And you're given more because he knows that he can trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that you're going to be faithful.
Yeah. It's like the guys with the talents we did.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's actually, why don't we, I'm sure we're going to come on another break pretty soon. How about Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15? This is a commonly read one.
Okay. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross, despoiling the principalities and the powers. He made a public spectacle of them, leading them away in triumph by it.
Ooh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, you did it just before the break. All right, we're going to listen to this song and we'll be back. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
To be pleasing.
are listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Well, that's a beautiful song.
That's called You Gave.
Oh.
By Jay Stocker.
Awesome. So this, you know, here Paul, the Pharisee, the law guy, you know, he's talking about there's condemnation against you because of the law. And he can say you because it applies to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to say, well, some people have it, some people don't. It says you have the condemnation. You have the requirements that
right.
you have to answer for. And this is another example of how the whole good news of the gospel kind of comes together, because
mm-hmm.
now that condemnation, the whatever the legal term is, the charges against you
right.
are nailed to the cross.
Right.
If you believe, if you repent, if you say you're going to follow,
mm-hmm.
they're not just nailed to the cross automatically.
Right.
So you don't just go through life saying, it's all nailed to the cross. I don't have to worry about it. But the condemnation that's due to you is nailed in the cross, to the cross. And he says, you were dead in your trespasses.
Right.
Because basically when you've transgressed the law, you're dead.
Right.
And he talks about the uncircumcision of the flesh, because circumcision, of course, meant you were in the covenant. That was the sign of the covenant, of the old covenant, of the covenant of law. So uncircumcision of the flesh just meant, hey, you know what? You were out of covenant because you were just a sinner. You were dead in your trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but now he's made us alive through him.
Right.
And forgiven your trespasses. Wipes out the condemnation
mm-hmm.
that's due to you from the law.
Yeah.
Just like, here, let me take that cup of wrath out of your hand. I'll drink it so you don't have to drink it.
Yeah.
Just let me take that condemnation, and it's going to be nailed to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So here's all the places you've transgressed the law. So this is the charges. These are the charges against you. This is the condemnation you deserve, but let me take that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nailed to the cross. Because remember, he says, it's all because of the blood. It's all because of the flesh. And he's nailed that to the cross. And because of that, he says, he's disarmed the principalities.
Yeah.
Satan. He's mm-hmm. triumphed over the demons.
Right.
Because this is something the demons weren't expecting.
Right.
You know, Satan's very, very, very intelligent. And he can be an angel of light. He knows the scripture, but he didn't get this, how this was going to happen. You know, Paul says in another place, I can't remember exactly where it is now, where he says if Satan would have realized what was happening, he would have never let them crucify the Lord of glory.
Right.
Because that was his own, sealing his own fate. But, you know, it says that Jesus makes a spectacle of these principalities, because they're baffled by this now,
mm-hmm.
that they're working hard to get us condemned. He takes the condemnation away.
Right. Yeah, because for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation.
Yes, exactly.
Because we stand before the Father. We can call God Daddy.
Yes.
We can call him Abba.
Yes.
But Jesus is there as our mediator.
Exactly.
Our advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and the accuser is there telling, well, you know, God, they did this. Phil did this and this
oh, yeah.
and this and this.
Oh, yeah. He's the accuser of the brethren.
He's the accuser of the brethren. And God looks at Jesus, and Jesus says, not guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I took that. I paid the debt for that, not
mm-hmm.
guilty.
Mm-hmm. And,
the devil's there baffled.
Yeah, when you think about it, Satan could somehow approach the throne and say, you think Steve and Phil are serving you? Look, come on. Look at what they've done. Look what their lives have been like. Look at the... And he also can come to us and say, you think you're serving the Lord? Remember what you said yesterday to that
yeah.
guy? Remember what you did this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what you were just thinking on your way over here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the great accuser.
Yeah.
And you're right. We have a covering of blood that says we're not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
That condemnation was nailed to the cross. It's through the blood and through the flesh. And he uses the term, you know, we were dead in our trespasses.
Right.
I mean, we're dead. You know, it's like our soul was dead. We didn't realize we were dead. I mean, we might have been having fun while we were dead. We didn't even realize we were dead.
Yeah.
If somebody would have said, are you dead? You'd have said, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I feel great. I feel great today.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's when you think about it, a dead person can't help themselves.
True.
I mean, a dead person can't say, well, I think I'll get up now and go get something to eat. I mean, a dead person can't help themselves. Our souls were dead in trespasses, but now we're alive in him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, very powerful scripture.
Yeah.
And he talks about, you know, the flesh being uncircumcised. And again, you can even apply that to us Gentiles. You know, Gentiles were outside. I don't mean us because we're not outside the covenant, but our Gentile ancestors were uncircumcised. They were outside of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And now they were under a sentence of death.
Right.
But then through Messiah, they were made alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the faith, of course, was passed on
right.
to Gentiles all over the world.
Right.
Because this was such a revolutionary thing that the uncircumcision, that the transgression, that the dead soul was transformed.
And brought to life.
Yes. We were under a sentence of death, and now we're made alive.
And it's all by what God's done for us.
That's right. And it's the victory over death. You know, when it says death was the final enemy, you know, the second death is the final enemy.
Yeah.
I mean, our physical death is bad. You know, like Woody Allen said, it's not that I'm afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, but the second death is way worse than the physical death.
Yeah.
Because if you have 4 seconds of chest pain and fall over dead, and everybody says, oh, wow, he just fell over dead. And then 3 seconds later, you're condemned to hell, and you're in this horrible place, and you say, boy, having the heart attack was nothing compared to this. I'm just joking. It isn't something to joke about.
I understand that.
But yeah. But you know, it's death is the final enemy.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking, I was thinking of something, that he takes what was rightfully going to be given to us, a sentence of death.
Mm-hmm.
And we're given a sentence of life.
Yes.
And it's not by what God, it's not by what we have done beforehand,
mm-hmm.
but it's what God has done for us. And that song that we just heard, you gave,
mm-hmm.
it embodies it so eloquently.
Mm-hmm.
You gave your life. Now the least that I can do is live, like St. Paul, live my life for you.
Wow. Yeah.
To live my life for the Lord.
Yeah.
And be your disciple, be your servant. And whatever you say, Lord, whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm yours.
Yeah.
You know, it's
this
like.
This was Paul. He says, I'm a minister for this now.
Yeah. I'm a slave to the gospel.
I'm a doulos. The Greek word doulos means like I'm a bondservant.
Yeah. I'm not a slave to sin anymore.
Right.
I'm a slave to Christ.
Right. Right.
If I'm going to be a slave, I want to be a slave for Jesus
mm-hmm.
and not a slave of
mm-hmm.
Satan.
Mm-hmm. And the law doesn't do that for you.
Right.
And Saul of Tarsus, who was the law guy, now says, hey, I'm a minister for this now because now I've got the good news.
Yeah.
And compared to knowing Christ, all that other stuff was lost. It was all rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the power of the gospel. This is the power of the good news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not really good news if you got to try to earn your way in and you don't know how well you're doing. And
right.
That's not really good news. That's kind of, you know, anxiety provoking. Like,
yeah.
Where am I? Where do I stand? Ooh.
We're at the end of the show already.
I can't believe it.
Wow.
I still got a lot of stuff. Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just want to pray for your salvation, that you would come to the cross of Yeshua, of Jesus, turn to him. And he will blot out all of your offenses. Have a good week, everyone. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.